Hello to all our listeners, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Shrimp Tank, where we interview business owners, entrepreneurs, and C-suite executives in our community. We hear what lessons they've learned over the years, whether it's from success or sometimes the best lessons come from failure. As always, we're coming to you from the BRS Consulting Studios here in Little Rock. I'm your host, Rich Gents, and along with my co-host, David Sims, who's probably mourning today because Florida lost over the weekend.
Yeah, man. Both my teams lost. Arkansas lost and the Gators, man. We were actually at the Gator game with my son. It was wasn't fun.
Yeah, the Razorbacks
wasn't a fun
lost,
time in the swamp.
But my California team won, so they're 2-0. So haven't played anybody of real note yet, but at least they're
2-0. Go Bears.
They're a third of the way to the bowl eligible, which is pretty hard for them.
Go Bears. I doubt we'll make a bowl this year. We'll make the toilet bowl.
Hey, I did want to mention, remember last week I talked about that thing from the Entrepreneur magazine?
Uh-huh.
At the end, I mentioned, because she was on the cover, there's a 13-year-old girl, Alina Morse. She didn't get her start on Shrimp Tank or anything. And she runs a thing called Zolly Pops.
Uh-huh.
And she's in Kroger and Whole Foods. And she's doing, let's see, it says, not $6 million of gross sales of candy.
Wow.
Dang.
13 years old.
You mean we could go find her in Kroger and Whole Foods?
Let's get her on the shrimp team.
Yeah, man. We got to look for her. Show me your picture. I want to make someone to go track her down.
There you go.
Oh,
Gordon,
my gosh.
Start doing the research and get her down. No, she's
Gordon,
been on CNN. She's
down.
Been on Fox Business. She's been on a lot.
Yeah, man. The best thing about this weekend, I got to swim in the Atlantic Ocean, man. The storm that was coming is throwing up some great waves, man.
Yeah.
We just were body surfing and just having a blast. Got to see my mother-in-law, but it was good. And I've been looking forward to this show. We have Sam Carrasquillo.
I think
I got that right.
You got it right.
Sorry, I can't pronounce it in your native tongue.
No,
why don't you say it so our listeners can hear it. Say it.
Carrasquillo.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the romance languages.
That's right.
David's looking at you with goo-goo eyes.
Already.
Well, I was thinking about my oldest daughter who's fluent in Spanish.
Oh, that's great.
So we love it. We're enriched by that.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, Sam, it's good to have you on the show. Sam has an incredible and inspirational story of entrepreneurship. He was born in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and moved to Arkansas at age 16. That's probably why you had to change your name, or at least had your pronunciation of your name.
Pronunciation, for sure.
Yeah. With no friends, no money, no English, Sam went door-to-door mowing grass and reading the dictionary in the evenings. At age 17, he opened his first company and purchased his first investment. Over the years, he's opened several businesses to complement his original company, where he still serves as president. Sam believes in giving back and giving often, which he does through sharing his story with other kids from similar backgrounds, volunteering as a member of several advocacy boards throughout Central Arkansas. He has a Bachelor of Business Administration, both in finance and real estate, and an MBA from the University of Arkansas right here in Little Rock. Sam, welcome to the show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hear more of your story.
Sure.
So speaking of your story, why don't you share with us a little more about your first company and your first investment? What was that, and is the company still around today?
Yeah, so when I got here, I was 16, and I just didn't know anybody. And so I was actually really, really depressed, to be honest. I'm the one that kind of forced the family to move here just because I wanted the change and the opportunities that I wasn't going to get back home.
Uh-huh.
And so when we got here, everybody kind of blamed me for being here. And so
the pressure's on.
Yeah,
everybody looking at Sam moping around.
That's
right.
So the pressure was on, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? You know, I'm 16. I don't know English.
Were you the oldest?
No, I was the middle child.
Okay.
My brother's 2 years older than me. My younger brother at the time was only 3 years old, about to turn 4.
Hmm.
Anyway, so the family was kind of looking at me. Everybody was kind of having a hard time right off the bat. We were we moved into my uncle's garage, and I mean garage, not like down here they convert them. He hadn't converted. So we were in there, and so going from Puerto Rico, which we didn't have any means whatsoever, but we at least had a home,
right.
to being in the garage. It was kind of tough for all of us, and so they kind of looked at me to. You're here, so do something.
Get the work in.
Yeah, and so after a lot of lonely nights, a lot of nights going to bed crying, to be honest, I decided that I would do something about it. And so I decided to get a lawnmower, which we got at a garage sale. We don't have those down there. We don't really have garages. But Not in Puerto Rico, that is.
They didn't try and sell your family out of the garage.
Yeah, so that
garage sale.
The garage sale. The lawnmower didn't work, and so I bought it for $5. This is no joke. And so my dad actually helped me get it going, get it working. And so I started going door to door, and because I didn't speak very good English, I just went door to door, and I would make hand gestures. Probably not. You can't see me right now, but I would just go door to door, and I would go like this, and I would basically go, you know,
mimic
mowing the lawn for $20, and I would just go, you know, $20, and people were like, sure. And so that's kind of how it started. So I would go door to door, and at night, like, you know, like the bio said, I would read the dictionary so I could learn. You can learn a lot from just reading the dictionary. I think people kind of overlooked that, but so anyway, so door to door, and I was able to scrape a couple of dollars doing that. And during that time, I turned 17, and during that time, it was like those no income, no asset loans. So basically, if you could breathe,
right,
you could get a loan. So yeah, I got really lucky. So I went.
So did you cause the 2008 financial
crisis? Yeah. No, I was actually one of the success stories from it. But not many people were as fortunate as me. But either way, so I went from bank to bank and got a ton of no's, just because I was still 17. And then I had a substitute teacher in high school. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna leave this, and I'm gonna start my own mortgage company. And so I told him, I said, man, I wanna get a loan. And he's like, oh, you'll be my first loan. And I said, okay, fine. You know, with my broken English at the time. And so I went in. Sure enough, I was his first loan. We put on the application that I was 18, and you know, I was gonna be 18 soon, so that was okay. And it's okay with me, I guess. After hearing no so many times, I was just ready. And so I got my first loan, bought my first property in Jacksonville on Lehman Road, and man, I just went in there and started to remodel that thing. And I didn't know anything about remodeling. And there was no YouTube back then. So I kind of just figured it out on the fly. And,
you seemed to be too young to say no YouTube back then. How old are you now?
Yeah. I'm 35 now.
35. Okay.
There was no YouTube. Hasn't been around that long. But I wish it was back then. So I just kind of figured it out. I invited friends over, had a pizza party, and see if someone would help. They just came and ate the pizza. And I was left to do the rest of the house. But long story short, I was able to remodel the house good enough with the help of just myself at night, and then some friends that did come by and helped out. My dad came by and helped out, and so I was able to sell it and made about $30,000 on that thing.
Wow!
And it's funny because I say those numbers because my parents, the most they've ever made in their entire life was $14,000 a year.
Wow.
So my family of five was growing up making $14,000 a year is the most my dad has ever made. And so for me to basically double that in one transaction, was a big deal. And so,
so
I wanted to
quit
school.
Did they stop kicking you at night?
No, you know, they were pretty impressed. And of course I helped them out, and we were able to get our own apartment and, moved over to North Little Rock. And we were able to do that. And, you know, the pressure was on. It became more pressure on like going to school. They felt like I got lucky. And so because I got lucky, I didn't need to stay in school. Because at that time, during that time, I'm 18 years old and about to graduate high school. And I decided I don't want to go to college. I mean, this is what I want to do the rest of my life.
Right.
And none of my family had ever gone to college. And so it was really important to them for me to go. And I had scholarships to be able to go. So financial aid, really, not so much scholarships, but some scholarships. But anyway, again, long story short,
that's fantastic.
I was able to.
You made a bunch of believers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hardest
people to convince are the people closest to
that's
you.
That's right. Yeah.
And so they thought it was that I was lucky, and they wanted me to go to college.
You delivered pretty fast too. That was about
a year.
Made them believers. That is a fantastic story.
You have a number
story.
Of companies now. So real quick, list the main ones that you.
So it started with. At that time, it was SC Investments, which was the one mowing the lawn and bought that first property. It's now called Ally Jade Investments because I have a 6-year-old daughter, and so I named it after her. I renamed it after her, and then from that grew a company called SC Home. SC standing for Satisfied Customer, just because I'm not very artistic. It was Sam Carasquillo, of course, but I had to switch it up. So either way. I have that. And then I have a commercial construction company. So SC Home does residential construction, roofing, windows, and siding. And so we traveled the whole state doing that. And then we're the premier vendors for Lowe's. So if you went to Lowe's and bought any of those services from them, we would be the ones to install them. Mm. And so that kind of helped our growth throughout the state. And so we worked the whole state in that regard in residential. And then from there, I spun out a commercial construction company called Canana Construction. And that came after my grandma passed away. I decided to start something.
What's Canana? How do you spell that?
C-A-N-A-N-A. So banana. Oh. Banana, but with
a C. I got
it
right. Canana. Yeah.
And that was her nickname. Oh, and so when she passed, I decided to start a company.
Fantastic.
So we do commercial work. We do we remodel KFCs. We remodel Burger Kings. We've done Walgreens. We've done we do our properties downtown Little Rock. Several different properties.
Oh, fantastic. So your bio also talks about your civic service and giving back. Why do you think it's important for entrepreneurs to possess this value?
I mean, I think it's always good to always take the ladder down and help people get up. I think a lot of us, it's really lonely. It's really lonely. And I will say at the top, because I'm not at the top, but it's really lonely to have your own company. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the things that we need to do is to help others that have that dream, help them get there.
Right.
In 2012, I was voted one of the top entrepreneurs in the nation. And there was a company called Impact that put the group together. And so we went to the White House, and the theme of the summit was going back to the communities and really giving back. And so we all kind of bought into that, and I was a big believer into that. So since then, I've been trying to share my story more and more to try to help other people become successful in what they're trying to do.
Yeah. It's always an inspiration when someone's really thinking about starting out and feels like, oh, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the money, I don't have anything. And they hear a story
really
like
tough.
Yours and just say, hey, you know, maybe it can be done.
Exactly.
Hey, Sam, I want to transition a little bit. Sure. Those were kind of getting to know you a bit, but I want to talk a little bit about business critical thinking.
Okay.
So get your insights on some of these things. So one of the biggest things we hear all the time is people tend to learn the most from their failures. So through all your business ventures, how have you been able to combat the fear of failure?
Oh, well, I just fail all the time.
You just get used to it. Huh?
You really just get used to it, to be honest. You know, I've failed on a bunch of different ones. I mean, this would be a long show if I told you all the times I've tried something and it not worked out. So I mean, it's just going out and doing it. You know, you hear all that stuff all the time, but people are afraid of making a change, and they just got to get out there and get it done. But I've failed over and over and over again. I mean, if you want me to share some of the failures, I'll tell you.
What's one of the main things you've learned
from the failures? Well,
that you said I'm not going to repeat this mistake.
I think you know, failing makes you a little bit more pessimistic, and it makes you look at the deals a lot closer. Mm. And so I think what I've learned is that not everything that I touch turns into gold. Mm. And so as you grow, as you get kind of get older in this world, you start figuring out that when you start, you're like, oh man, I'm starting and I'm going to kill this thing and everything that I do is going to be successful because I'm awesome, and then you figure out that you're not awesome, mm-hmm. that it's really 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 hard. And so what I've learned is that you can't outwork something, a bad deal into a good deal. You just really can't. So just to share one example there, I bought an apartment complex when I was 21. And I thought, well, I'm 21, I have no kids, I'm not married. And I bought it with a partner of mine, which you guys will have on, I'm sure, at some point. And anyway, we thought, you know, we're both 21, 22 years old. And all we got to do is get in here and just, you know, roll up our sleeves and get to work. And we were able to get the loan, and that was a year-long process. And just because we got the loan, we thought, okay, now we got it. We got this thing. We bought the apartments. Now we're going to be super rich. And so we get in there, and the day we got in there and we started knocking on the doors, it was a 46-unit apartment complex in Jacksonville, and 23 people moved out. The owner of the place had filled them up with people not paying. They were living there for free.
Oh,
they were living
goodness.
There for free, and they had a story to tell. Their story to tell was that they paid $350 every month, and all the books looked right, and everything looked right, and the guy was dying from cancer. And so by the time we realized that it was a scam, he had passed away. So we got stuck with that. So that was 10 years of our lives that we could not get back now.
Mm.
And we tried to work it and worked it and worked it and worked it, and just could never turn it around. And we could have cut it loose year one, year two, but we just felt like, you know, that we couldn't fail. Like we could make this happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And 10 years later, we ended up having to to basically give it away and let it go so we can move on. So yeah, it's so you can turn just because you think you can doesn't mean you can. And if it's a bad deal from the beginning, if it's too good to be true, it really, really is.
That's right.
Period.
If something turns something turns into a turd, you got to realize you just let it stay a turd.
Yeah, it's just a turd.
It will serve a purpose.
That's right.
That may not be a business.
That's
purpose.
Right. So
so there's probably listeners out there who listen to your story, who have all kinds of ideas and who are innovators and just see so many opportunities, you know, that like you have done, multi-business owners and so forth. But what can you share with them about kind of the timing of starting a new business to make sure that you don't spread yourself too thin?
Well, I think it's really important to learn how to say no. Because, I mean, there's a million opportunities. Everybody feels like there's a lack of opportunity out there to jump on deals, but there's so many deals, and so you just got to pick one that works for you, and pick one that you know, like that. Get into a space that you're passionate about, but that you're also knowledgeable about.
Right.
I'm not going to get into the apparel business. I don't know anything about the apparel business, but I get pitched all the time about, hey, give me some money to start this Instagram company. Well, yeah, that sounds cool, but it's not for me. So I would say learning how to say no, it's really, really important. And doing something on that space that you know, it's really important.
That's good. That's good.
We kind of always tell people, whatever your pro forma looks like, you know, cut the income in half and double the expenses. And then you're lucky if you hit that.
That's right. And then the time. If you think you're going to work 40 hours a week, then you're crazy. It never happens.
And brutally test your assumptions.
That's
at everything.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
So, Sam, obviously strategic partners are quite valuable. You have the one with Lowe's. So how has the partnership with Lowe's, you know, benefited SC Home? And also, real quick, you're fascinating to talk to, so I could keep going on the questions. But how did you actually land that? I mean, that must have been hard.
So, you know, sometimes you just get lucky. And I had walked into Lowe's, you know, a million times, and this is 2009. I had just started the company in 2008, so this is the middle of the recession. And and Lowe's had a roofing company that was doing the work for them, and they were not happy with them. And a guy named Richard asked me, "Hey, man, if I can get you this contract, would you be willing to take a stab at it?" And I said, "Sure." And at that time, everyone felt like working for Lowe's was a negative, and it's because they didn't have you know, this is a multi-billion-dollar company, but they didn't have their stuff together. I would have to get the lead, basically sell the lead, measure the project, do everything myself. The only thing they did was they would pull the materials for you, and then you would have to come pick them up. And so I told Richard, I said, "Richard, man, it just doesn't work like this. So give me a meeting with one of your managers and let me talk to them about it." And so I was able to tell them about maybe hiring some sales guys and doing it a different way. And, you know, when it's a company that size, they're trying things like that in different markets.
Right.
So whenever I brought it up, they said, "Well, you know, we're trying that in North Carolina. We'll try that in Little Rock." Mm-hmm. And so they brought that setup where they had their own sales guys and they're called PSEs, and they do the selling. And so all I have to do is basically coach them through the sale and teach them how to measure and all that. And anyway, it became really easy. So how does it help me? It helps me. A big part of it helps our marketing. It's really it's really good for us to say, "Hey, we're the preferred vendor for Lowe's."
It's instant credibility.
Yeah, it just gives us instant credibility throughout the whole state, because Lowe's is, you know, it's a statewide company, nationwide company.
Yeah, yeah. You got cred on their name.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So not necessarily, it's not a big money maker for us, as you would think, but it helps us get all some of our own customers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah.
On that topic, Sam, with Lowe's being a partner for Kanana or some of the other aspects, what's been a beneficial way for you guys to get your name out there and grow your company's presence?
So they're only a partner on the SC Home side because it's on the residential. Lowe's doesn't do commercial, but we're able to put it on our pamphlet, on all our marketing material, that we are the preferred vendors for Lowe's, and they don't mind that because, I mean, they're huge, so that we're nothing to them, right? But it helps us. They have financing. So, and at this time, during this, you know, many years, we didn't have financing. And
that's
so whenever somebody was like, "Oh, I need a roof done, but I just can't afford it," we would say, "Well, go to
Lowe's." So that unlocked that for you guys as the
funnel for us, because now they go to Lowe's to get finance, And so they, and then we put the roof on. So we get paid on that lead. Before, we just had to turn them down saying, hey, listen, we don't have financing, so we can't help you. So that was a big part of us. And then putting them on all of our marketing material really does help too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Instant cred.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey, Sam, we have this thing called Shrimp Cocktail, this being the Shrimp Tank. So these are like little quick tidbits of advice or insight or whatever. So I want to get into that. And David, I think you had the first question there.
Yeah. So you have work-life balance issues, right? So how do you keep that in balance, and in particular, the giving back to the community?
Yeah.
Right.
So the daughter's always number one. Yeah. I love spending time with her. I think she sees me for who I feel like I am, and not who either the business world sees you at, or
and how
or
old did you say
so she's six. She's six.
So she's got daddy wrapped around her finger.
Oh yeah, for sure. Whatever she wants, she gets. That's for sure. And I need to work on that.
Does she like seafood?
Does she like? She actually does. She's a sushi fan.
Oh, so okay. You ever bring her a shrimp cocktail?
Yeah.
We're talking about it.
Hey, listen, I don't know about shrimp, but she does eat some California rolls. She loves that. Yeah. And so, work life balance. It's really hard to come by. As an entrepreneur, Clay from Roxy to Digital has talked a lot about that here lately and on Facebook, and so check his stuff out. But at the end of the day, man, you gotta be able to get away. And I didn't do that for many years. Mm-hmm. And so I think when my daughter was born, that's kind of when it changed for
me. Wake up call.
Yeah, it's a wake up call, and you become less ambitious. You know? So. Mm-hmm. So now it's okay for me just to have a normal life whenever I was before her and before my marriage. I wanted to be a billionaire, and then billionaire turns into, I want to be worth 100 million. And then as you get older, it's like 10 million. And you get, it's like, one or two will be fine. And so that's how, that's how that has gone. But I love spending time with my daughter.
I got to tell you a story. So two things. One is I never realized how selfish I was till I got married. And then my wife and I say we never realized how selfish we were till we had kids.
Yeah, that's it.
I remember talking to my dad. I was probably a senior in high school and everything. And I was just talking to him. And he's an entrepreneur. He owned a construction company in San Francisco. And I told him, I said, Dad, if I can ever just make $100,000 in 1 year, I'll retire. And he goes, well, Rich, I think it might take a little more than that.
That's right. And it does.
But you're very idealistic.
And it does. Especially when you have a daughter. I've learned that. Expensive.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of times we talk with entrepreneurs, and there's always pain points in the business, and you have multiple businesses. So what would you say have been kind of like your most recent pain points? Whether it's running the business, whether it's taxes, whether it's payroll.
So
I don't know.
So right now our biggest thing is finding, and I think you hear this often. So finding good help. It's really tough. We have a great office team. So the people in our office are awesome. Every company that I'm involved in has a woman leader. So I have Christina that runs Canada Construction, and then I have Morgan that runs SC Home, and then I have Amanda that runs Ally Jade, and then I'm kind of the overseer of making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. So I have a great team there, but finding actual laborers on the construction side has been super tough this last couple of months. The storms, we've had storms outside of Arkansas, and so a lot of them have gone away. And then just finding help here has been really tough. That's the biggest pain point right now. Before it was finding financing, finding the money to do deals. That's always tough. But then as you prove yourself and you establish relationships, the bankers are easier. They're easier to deal with, and they're more willing to take risk on your venture. So
what I hear you saying is that one of the pain points you've avoided is figure out to have female leaders in each of your businesses, not have male leaders in your business.
And that's by experience. Women outwork men. Eight to whatever.
It
is a fact.
That's a fact of life. That's right.
And so they get along good, and they work together. They work individually, but when they're all kind of slammed, they become a team, and they work each other, help
so
each other out.
So as you've grown over the last year, 35, so man, you've been at it, almost 19 years.
Yeah.
So over that time period, who have been your mentors, and do you have a current team of coaches or counselors who help you kind of manage all this or think forward
and bounce ideas.
So it's really lonely. I will say that it's really lonely to have your own company because there's nobody there. I don't have partners on my company. I have people that I have my right hand man, this guy named JC. He's the vice president of the companies, and so I bounce a lot of stuff for him, and he will roll into being a partner as he works into his equity plan. But
gotcha.
So it's really lonely. But over the years, I've had people that have been there. You know, the first person there, of course, was my dad. Although my dad didn't have his own business, so it was kind of tough. He thought it was crazy for me to start my own. So that was kind of frustrating, but I understood where he was coming from.
I just got to jump in here. Is JC Jesus Christ?
No, yeah. Sometimes.
So you got a good partner.
sometimes he is Jesus Christ.
I was just writing a note and I put JC and
Like today, he's making sure everything's running smooth while I'm here with you guys. So today he is Jesus Christ. No, but his name is Juan Carlos. He's actually another Puerto Rican guy. I went to a meeting at Baldwin Shell when we first kicked out my commercial construction company. It was my very first meeting. And I fish out of the water. I didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know anything about commercial construction whatsoever. And so I went in there and I just thought, I'm just going to go in and see if I can start, you know, listening to these folks, trying to get their lingo, trying to figure out what they do. And there was this guy with broken English in the very front. And he was asking all the right questions. And I thought, who is this guy? I'm going to talk to him after. Well, it turns out that he was there. It was his first commercial construction meeting here in Arkansas. And he just wanted to start his own commercial construction company. So he hadn't done anything yet. I hadn't done anything yet. So we talked and he came on board with us and he came aboard with me and we've been working together since the beginning.
Great.
He's actually one of a Puerto Rican guy too. So we kind of hit it off immediately. Yeah.
Okay, Sam, now we're getting into the fun part. Have you heard one of the podcasts before? Do you know about the Plead the Fifth segment?
I've heard about it.
Did so Clay tell you about it?
Bring it on.
All right. Here's how the segment works. We try to ask you questions that will make you think long and hard before answering. Mm. You can either answer truthfully or plead your Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
Okay.
Points are awarded if you answer truthfully, and we get the points if we get you flustered enough to plead the Fifth and not answer. So obviously it's all in good fun. So
that's fine, yeah.
Gordon.
Actually, if we win, we get like free roof.
Good luck with that.
And good luck Sam, with that. If you win, you can take one of those cups.
I like that.
All right, Sam. So I've got the first question, and we're not talking about the manufacturer's posted numbers. We're talking from your experience.
Sure.
How fast does your Tesla go?
Oh, wow. It's really, really, really
fast.
State
troopers are listening.
Yeah. It's really fast. It'll go from 0 to 60 in, I think it's 4 seconds, right under 4 seconds. So it's really freaking fast. And it's immediate. It's not like a gas.
The better question is, how fast have you gone in your Tesla?
Pretty fast.
I don't consider that an answer.
Yeah, I would say, I have a picture. Well, this is the part I shouldn't share. I have a picture of me going 154 on it. So that's not too bad, but
that's really nice.
And that's in here.
Was it the speedway? Don't worry about it, officer.
Yeah. I wish it was at the speedway. That would get it. I would get it higher. But it was on 440. If you really want to know. But, go ahead.
That's a perfect place to do it.
That's right.
All right. So if you had to refer a prospect to a competitor of SC Home, who would it be?
So a competitor, yeah. On the roofing side, I would I send any project that we can do, I send to PI Roofing. They're a good bunch. They're a really good bunch. On the commercial side, the projects that we've done have been out of state, so I really don't know many guys outside of that. But if I were to say one here, we've done our own projects downtown. We haven't worked for anybody else here downtown. So I would send it to Central Construction because they seem to be doing really, really good work. Yeah.
Hmm. You know, we had Joel Johnson from PI Roofing on here. He's one of our, one of our first 10.
Yeah.
And
Joel's a great guy.
He had great things to say about you guys too.
Good. So. Joel's a great, great guy. I need to check that podcast.
No, he wasn't on the podcast.
Okay.
But he did mention that he thought he personally caused the 2008 financial crisis because he says we were so cocky and doing so well, God had to humble us.
That's happened to us too. So it happens. I think it happens to all of us.
All right. So if you could just keep one company, would it be SC Home, Ally Jade Investments, Kanana Construction, or your realty business with iRealty?
So I would say I'm always going to keep Ally J just because those are my real estate investing investments that I've had, and those will pay dividends for many, many, many years to come. So long term, I would say I would keep Ally J investments.
Mm-hmm. And it's not because your daughter's name is it?
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, that too. So long term, Ally J. If you ask me, if you put a gun to my head and I had to get rid of keep one, I would keep SC Home because that one produces cash every single day. Mm-hmm. And then if you say, well, which one had the most upside, I would say Canana because it's on the commercial side. Right. So today, SC Home, tomorrow, Canana, 10 years from now, Ally J. But Ally J is not one that makes money now. It's a real estate holding company. Right. And so it should, you know.
All right. So if you could keep one employee, who would it be?
Keep one employee, who would it be? It would be JC. It'll be JC. But I love them all for sure. But I couldn't run it without them.
Yeah.
I won't ever play the fifth. I'm not worried about it. Go bring him on.
Okay. What's the worst part of working with one of our past guests and owner of iRealty Arkansas, Kristen Kennan?
Look, listen, I've known Kristen forever before all of her success. And her dad was actually my first mentor.
I thought you were going to say her dad is the worst part.
No.
Listening, Kristen?
Yeah. Her dad was my first mentor. He was the first person to say, oh, you want to start your own company? That sounds awesome. Everybody else says, are you crazy? That's insane. What do you know about it? But he was the first person to kind of encourage me. And he passed away, I'm sure, as you guys probably know. But he was an incredible human being. He was the first person to teach me how to get a company off the ground by being supportive. And then he always gave back to the community. Mm-hmm. Big time. So big shoes to fill for sure. Working with Kristen, I love Kristen to death. I have nothing bad to say about her. So she's rocking and rolling. She's in the first stages of her company. So I think she's going to,
what do you do with iRealty?
So I'm just an agent. I'm just agent an agent of the brand. And the truth is, I have a lot of my own property. And when I try to sell it, I would always have to hire an agent.
Right.
And it got expensive paying the fees. And so I decided to go ahead and get my own license. And I of course hung it with Kristen because she's a great friend of mine.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So love her to death.
Do you or Gordon know if she and her husband ever came out with the hippopotamus? Did they get it?
Yeah, you know what? So I was. I don't know if Kristen brought this up, but I was in her first meeting. Whenever she kind of came up with that, me and her had lunch, and she kind of shared it with me, and I put her in contact with a buddy of mine that I've met in D.C. Mm-hmm. to kind of get it off the ground, and cool. I think they're doing great things with it.
Gordon, why don't you ask the last one, see if you can get him to plead the fifth
on this. So I guess we threw too many softballs.
Yeah.
But so if you had to name one of the three companies, which one's the black sheep? The problem child.
Come on, give us a point.
The problem sheep would be... So on the SC Home side, I mean, they all have their own issues. So on the SC Home side, it's finding salespeople. We have two good sales guys now, but we need four or five. So finding good salespeople, it's really freaking hard on the residential construction side. Like nobody, even though they could make a great living, nobody wants to be in the roofing selling business. It has a negative connotation and. And nobody wants to be in the residential construction world. So that part is really, really tough. On the Canana side, it's, there's a million deals and trying to do them all. You just can't, so you spread yourself too thin. And so it's really hard. And you have to float payments because the big GCs take forever to pay you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and then on the Ally J side, it's having to wait having patience and waiting for those properties to pay themselves off. So okay. They all suck all the time.
Well, hey, as a referee, I'm going to step in and say that's a point for Shrimp Tank.
Yeah, I was going to say
every company.
Yeah, they all suck all the time. I mean, it's just the way it is.
You got a flock of black sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them.
You should consider another career in politics because you kind of just leave the answers you wanted.
Which one's the black sheep?
They're all black.
They're all black sheep. All of them.
Sam, you still killed us. So
yeah, that's right.
You
that's
say
right.
You won that round.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
You earned your Tumblr, your Shrimp Tank Tumblr, fair and square.
I love it.
So hey, Sam, our sponsor, BRS Consulting, refers to themselves as rehirement, not retirement advisors.
Okay.
When you're retired, you're 6 feet under. When you're rehired, you're free to transition from work and into a different calling. that you might have. So what's your vision for your retirement years? I know you work down from a billion down to a couple million, but you know, I mean, shoot, you could still do a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
no doubt. So let me make sure I understand the question. So, what would I do next?
Yeah, yeah.
So let me tell you, so back in 2013, we had a huge theft that almost took us under. We had a guy that we hired from a company that was going under. That should have been a sign. He came over, and he was a super Christian guy, and he played the role extremely well, and he robbed us blank over $300,000 loss that we had.
Oh my gosh! And, embezzled it?
Yeah, embezzled it and misappropriated the funds. But either way, almost took us down. And so the funny thing about it is I just bought a building. I moved the company there, and this is in Sherwood. And I thought, okay, this is it. I'm gonna have to close. And came along, the real estate agent that sold the property to me said, hey, listen, I got some people in the car. I have some people in the car that want to come look at this building, and they're interested in buying it. And I said, it's not for sale. And they said, Sam, I thought everything was for sale. I was like, well, I guess if they really want to buy it, I mean, they can come in and take a look. And so they came in and take a look and made an offer that I couldn't refuse, and basically got us out of debt and back going.
Recover
the loss.
Wow, that's fantastic.
We had bought Ride. We had done the work ourselves, so we were in a really good position there. And so anyway, and they're great vets in Sherwood, Bands and Hawk. But so they got us out of there. So I was sitting on. I was sitting on this money left over, and I thought, this is it. I'm closing everything. I'm just gonna find something else to do. And so I took about 30 days, didn't tell anybody about it, kind of got away from everything, and just trying to figure out something else to do. And sadly, I couldn't think of anything. Literally nothing. So I used the money, bought the Tesla, and went back to work.
And then hit 155 on the 440.
Went back to work. So what would I do? I honestly have a lot of friends that have really, really cool companies. And I would, if everything went to hell tomorrow, I would probably join one of them and work on their vision and make something grow. But I really couldn't even answer the question. I don't know. This is all I've ever known. I started when I was 17 years old, so yeah. I can't think of anything different.
And it is very true. Most entrepreneurs, they do it because they love it. So figure, I can't imagine not doing something creative in business, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's up and down every day. Some days I hate it. Some days I love it. But overall.
That impact thing that you went to in Washington, D.C., you got recognized there and the way you've been giving back. I mean, that's really, you're probably doing that now. You're probably going to always do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So we could see you doing that. But that's one of the things we talk a lot about, you know, is this whole issue of retirement and vision what are you here for and how are you going to give back? And so my next thing would be
is trying to figure out more of a savings plan. I'm one of those guys that now that I have a daughter, I feel like I should make sure I have something left. Every penny that I've ever made has gone back to, not every penny.
Yeah, the Tesla.
I have wasted some of those. But you deserve a reward. Yeah, exactly. But I've reinvested back into the company every single time. And so now it's time for me to kind of start pulling some chips off the table and make sure she's taken care of. So,
that's great, man.
Hey, Sam, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. For folks who want to get in touch with you, pick your brain, or actually find out more about SC Home, maybe for a job
that'd be dependable,
or to actually hire you guys to do work in their place. So what's the best way for them to get in touch with you or the company?
So for SC Home and for the rest of the companies, the number is 501-374-HOME. You can call there. But you know what? I'm the kind of guy, again, if I can't, I need to walk the walk. So my cell phone number, if anybody needs to reach out to me, it's 501-952-7286. So if you have any questions about how to start your own company or what to do next, feel free to call me.
Hey, we don't get too many people giving out their cell phones, so he's the real deal.
No problem.
Hey, make sure you tune in each week to catch all of the advice and insights from our guests on the Shrimp Tank. And don't forget all the places you can catch the new Shrimp Tank content. One is at our website, arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. You can also subscribe through iTunes so you don't miss a single episode. And you can catch all of our 5-minute wrap-up videos on our YouTube channel. Until next week, stay safe. And remember, in the business world, to become a shark, we all start out as shrimp.